Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Soita Yud Ches. We are holding on the fifth line from the top of the Amud. So when the Torah instructs the Kohen to write the Megillah and scrub it into the water and serve it to the Soita, it says, Va'asa la. He should do it with her in mind. The question is, to what extent does he have to have her in mind? By Rava. Here comes a Shiloh presented by Rava. Kosa beis Megillahs. Shtei Soites. So he had two Soites standing before him, and he wrote out two separate Megillahs, one per woman. So it was certainly written, Lishma, this is for you, and this one is for you. But when it came to rubbing into the water, he did it as one. Umachan l'tech kais echad. Mahu. So he scraped both Megillahs into the same cup of water, and now it's all mixed up. Mahu, what is the halach? Is it suitable for drinking or not? Shall we say, Ksiva lishma ba'inan? The main thing is that the writing of the Nusach, the writing of the Megillah, should be for her sake, with her in mind. Ha'ika, you have it. This one was for you, this one written for you. Or perhaps, writing is not enough. The whole process, writing and rubbing into the water, is required to be lishma. Be'ina nami mechika lishma, the mechika. The erasure also has to be l'shem this isha. And in this case, since it's all mixed together, it's not discernible, you know, which one is for you, which one's for you, it doesn't work. Now, if you'll tell me, be'ina nami mechika lishma, that in fact the lishma concept applies to mechika as well, and therefore you have to make a mechika per person. It has to be a separate erasure and a separate kais per person. So what will happen in the next case? Machkan bebeis kaises. He did mechika in two separate kaises. Your megillah into this kais, yours into this one. But then v'chazar v'irvan, and then he mixed up the water again. So now it's all one mix. Mahu, is it suitable? Shall we say mechika lishma be'inan va'ika? The main thing is that the mechika was on lishma, was on separate, was on personal. Yeah, you have it. Oidilma halavdi da kashasya. Or perhaps you can say, ultimately, since it's mixed together, both megillahs in the same cup of water, so each isha, you know, rachel and leah, each one is not drinking her own personal water. Halavdi da kashasya. Vahan, the other woman as well, lavdi da kashasya, is not drinking her megillah, her personal water. So it doesn't work. Now if you'll tell me that in fact it does not work, this one is not drinking hers, and this one is not considered to have been drinking hers, and therefore it doesn't work, what happens if he then went ahead and separated the water, split into two, this one's for you, this one's for you, does it work or not? Each one has her personal serving. It works. Yesh Breira, we can define, we can differentiate, we can separate. And now, you know, customize, this is for you and this is for you. As long as the mechika was done separately. Right? So the masa of mechika, explains Taisus. Perhaps that's all that counts. This is your mechika, scrape, scrape. This is your mechika, scrape. So even though they mix together, it doesn't matter. You're not drinking your ink. Taisus says the ink is anyways bottled to the water. It never stays discernible. So the point is not to drink your Megillah and your Megillah. The point is that the Mechika happened separately. Right? Each Megillah of each woman was erased separately into a separate cup of water, then mixed together, and no harm was done, as long as you split it back up again and give each one her personal serving. Or perhaps you can't do that. You can no longer differentiate, you can no longer separate, you can no longer customize it. It's all one mix. And it doesn't work. Teiku, we leave it as a question. But Rav, it comes another question. Hishka, he gave her to drink the water, besiv, with a straw, like a reed. Mau, is that considered proper drinking or not? Some Farshim say the same question could apply to drinking, you know, four kaisais on Pesach, or some say even drinking a dvar iser. Perhaps it's called shalei kederach. It's not the proper standard way of drinking. Bishvei ferismau. What about a bit of a wider type of straw, like a more of a bamboo? What is the halacha? Derach shtia bekach. Is that considered standard drinking? Perhaps it's not considered derach shtia, and it doesn't work. Take. Is that the normative way of drinking or not? Take. By Rav Ashi, here comes another shayla. Suppose he rubbed out the Megillah into the Mayim, and then nishpechu mehen. Some of it spilled, v'nishtayrmen, and some of it was left over, and there's enough there to give her, but it's not the full amount. Mahu, what is the halacha here? Take it, we'll leave it unresolved. Omrav Zer, Omrav. Beis shvuos ha'murois b'seit alama. If we take a look at the Pesukim, we'll find that the Torah mentions the fact that the Kohen is being mashpia the Isha, imposing a shvua on the Isha. It mentions it twice. Once in the beginning of Pasuk Yates, it says, Vishpia oisa ha'Kohen v'amar le'Isha, im lo yishacha v'ish oisa, he's sort of making a promise that she was not involved with another man. And then there's another Pasuk, later on, Nafchaf Aleph, Vishpia ha'Kohen es ha'Isha, but now the Pasuk adds the words, Vishvuas ha'Allah. A shvua which sort of triggers and activates the curse, you know, and the tragic, you know, results resulting from this procedure. Why does the Torah mention shvua twice? Amrav Zera Marav, Veishvoi Samuras Besoit Alama. Why twice? The answer is Achas Koidem Shinim Chaka Megillah. One shvua happened before they erased the Megillah. Va'achas La'achar Shinim Chaka Megillah, and the second shvua happened later. Maskla Rav, what do you mean? Taravayu, if you take a look at the Pesukim, both are mentioned before the Megillah was erased. Koidim Shinim Chaka Megillah Ksivan. Elam Rav, I'll tell you the reason. There are different types of shvois relating to different things. One is personal. He's in swearing her, he's making her promise that she's innocent. And number two is the shvua which relates to the curse, is sort of activating the curse. Elam Rav, achas shvua shel yeshima Allah. The second one is with the curse, va'achas. And the first one is shvua without a curse, she'enima Allah. How is the curse shvua worded? How does it work? Amar v'amram, amarav, mashbi'ani alech layich. So I'm imposing a shvua on you in the name of Hashem, shelo nitmes, that you are not guilty. She'im nitmes yivav v'ayich, because if you're guilty, then the water will hit you and destroy you. So that's a shvua which relates to the klala, relates to the punishment. Amar Rav, says Rav, no. Why is that called a shvua sheyesh ima Allah? If you break down the actual text of the shvua, you'll see that Allah lechudo kaima. It's two separate points he's making. The curse stands on its own. Ushvua lechudo kaima. The imposition of the shvua is separate. Right? That's what he said. He said, "Abi mashbia you. I'm imposing a shvua on you that you're." That you're innocent. And then he says, well, by the way, if you're guilty, you'll get the curse. So we have two separate elements. It's not interconnected. Elam Arava works like this. Mashbi'ani alayich. I'm imposing a shvua on you like this. She'im nitmes. That if you made a mistake, right? If you're guilty, the water will strike you and affect you. So this is a sort of a package between, it's a shvua sa'ala package. It goes together. I'm using the shvua to activate the Allah, to activate the curse. Amar v'ashi, well, then you only have a curse. Allah ikka. You're activating the curse. Shvua leka, there's no shvua here. You see, we're talking about shvua separate from Allah. It pertains to the person. It refers to the person. Look, I'm imposing a shvua on you. I'm making you promise that you are innocent, that you were not tummy. That's one thing. And then comes the next point. Well, here comes the next shvua. you're accepting upon yourself that if in fact you're guilty, the Allah, the curse, the klala, the einish will be activated. One is sort of personal, one is sort of, you know, factual, relating to the event of the Allah. So when we speak about a shvur that has Allah, it must have both elements, independent of each other. It needs to be a shvur element and an Allah element. A shvur element which relates to the person. Number one, I'm making you a promise that you're innocent. And the other factor is, well, I'm using a kayach of shvur to activate the curse if in fact you're guilty. And according to Rava's pshat, it's just one thing. I'm being mashbiya on you that if you're tamei, you'll get hit by the water. That's just an Allah. It's just a sort of activating the curse. Ela Mar Vashi says Rashi, you know how it works? What is a shvua sa'Allah? One that has both elements independent of each other. The personal element and then the curse element. Ela Mar Vashi. Mashbi'ani. Alaych. I'm in swearing you, I'm imposing a shvua on you in the name of Hashem. Shalai nitmas. That you're not tamei. That's number one. Okay? Accept that? Okay, let's move on. Vim nitmas yivo bich. And if in fact you're tamei, the water will affect you. And that's the Allah part of this presentation. So you have the personal shvur part, that's number one. You're agreeing that you're innocent. Number two, if you're not, the Allah will strike you. So bottom line is, the Torah mentions Vishbiya HaKoyin twice. One is simply a shvur, look, I'm imposing a shvur on you that you're not tummy. And the second one is a shvur sheyesh im Allah. Gets more serious. Number one, promise that you're tahor. Number two, if not, we're activating the water. Now the pasuk at the end of Chav Beis concludes with the words Va'amar Isha Amen Amen. She responds by saying Amen Amen. I accept. I accept. Why the repetition? Al mahi yomeres Amen Amen. What does Amen Amen relate to? It relates to both aspects that we mentioned. Amen ala Allah. Number one, I'm accepting that. I'm submitting myself to the curse, if in fact I'm guilty. Amen ala shvur. I'm a kabbal the shvur that I'm innocent. What else does amen relate to? Amen me'ish zeh. I'm agreeing, I'm vouching that I'm tahor with respect to this man that you suspected me of interacting with, Amen Mish Acher. And I'm also free of any other interaction with any other man. So even though he didn't actually suspect her of wrongdoing with somebody else, but we throw it in as well. Amen Shalisa Tisi Arusa Unesua. So we have a married woman. She says, I was not a Saita, I was not involved with a man, whether now, while married, and also prior to marriage, when I was just engaged with you. In those days, engagement was like a pseudo marriage. It was like, it didn't have any shesish, right? So although there was no kinoi there, he never suspected, or he has no idea what happened then, but Rashi says, we use the concept of Gilgul Shavua. We connect one event to the other, and basically, if you have a right to make a shavua on the current situation, you can sort of throw in other concerns as well. Vishyameres Yama Maknusa. Suppose we're speaking about a Yivama whose husband passed away without leaving any children. So now the brother took over. He did the Yivam. She's Knusa. She's already married to him. And now there was an issue. There was Kinoi, Stira. She became a Saita. So now she's promising that she's clear currently. And also she's clear of any wrongdoing when she was awaiting the Yibam, Shemeres Yavam, in that interim stage between her husband's passing and her new husband's marriage with her. Again, using the concept of Gilgul Shavua, we're sort of throwing in other concerns into the package. Amen Shalom Yitmes. What else is the Amen coming to tell us? Right? Meaning, we spoke about the fact that the Isha is accepting the Shvur, she's accepting the Allah. So how does that actually, you know, how do you package that meaning? What exactly does that mean? What does that relate to? Amin shalene tmeis. So the amin on the shvuah, the Kabbalah HaShvuah is, look, you impose the shvuah on me that I am tahar. That's exactly what I mean. Amin shalene tmeis. And then when we spoke about the amin relating to the Allah, I'm accepting the curse upon myself, that's what she meant, v'im netmeisi yavoi bi. If in fact I'm tamei, I'm willing to accept upon myself the ramifications. Ramirez has a chiddush that the amin also goes on a future event. She's sort of committing herself now that if in fact in the future she does something wrong, she'll be punished then through the water that she's drinking today. Ramirez shalei netmeisi. So the first amin relates to past events. I was not tummy. Amin shalei tummy, I'm committing for the future as well. And if during this marriage I'll do something wrong, which will require, you know, punishment, which makes me worthy of being punished, I will be affected by the water then. Now, although Rameir speaks about the future, and the Tanakhama spoke about, you know, during engagement, during the stage of Shemiras Yavam, but there's a limit to how far we can stretch this, this Shavua. Hakol Shavin, everybody agrees. Shein Mas Neima, you can't condition, you can't commit her to something that's before, something that predates, precedes her engagement with him. Loyal Kodim Shadis Aris. And likewise, according to Rameir, that he can go down to the future only as long as they're married. He can't commit her to something that will happen after they divorce. For instance, Nistara le'echad or le'acher, le'acher she'nisgarish. Let's say she will be involved with somebody after they get divorced. Nistra le'echad v'nitmes, right? She went into seclusion and she was involved with this man. And then he takes her back. So this fellow who had an issue with his wife, then divorced her. She was involved with another man while she was unmarried. And then he decided to remarry her. The shvuah today cannot be applied to that situation. No ramifications. Why? Because even if she deviates, even if she interacts with somebody as married, but she's an unmarried woman at that point. And therefore, today's water can't address that situation. Zaklal, because we have to follow the following, system. Kol shetim boil. Any type of interaction as married, which does not generate iser between herself and her husband, such as this case that we just mentioned, that was an unmarried situation. Even if there is a bila, even if there was interaction as married, but there's no ramifications in terms of her husband, i.e., because she's no longer married to him. So the tnai, the commitment, the shvuah that we're speaking about, cannot address that situation. It's sort of none of his business at this point what she'll do after, what she's going to do after she divorces him. So all agree that today's drinking cannot address an event that occurs after divorce. Okay? So bottom line is, we have the Isha saying, Amin, Amin. What's the duplication? So we have various Pshatim. One is the Shavuah. One is the Allah. One is clear in terms of this suspected perpetrator, and also Me'ish Acher from any other man. I'm clear now, I'm clear. I was clear during my engagement as well. I'm clear now, and I was clear when I was a Shemiras Yavam as well. Rameir adds something about the future, that if something would occur later on down the road during this marriage, today's commitment applies to that as well. But the Mishnah ends off that, of course, it can't apply to something post-marriage, because that has no ramifications on his relationship with her. None of his business. Amar Rav Abnuna. Shemeres Yavam Shezinsa. Asura Liyivama. We have an ish awaiting Gibum. So she has to wait patiently. She can't go and marry somebody else. There's a love involved in that. Letia, Esha Sameis, Hachutza Lishzar, she's not supposed to marry somebody else until she gets either Yibam or Chalitza. She did. She interacted with somebody else as married. She marries Yavam Shezinsa. She committed Znus at that point. Asura Liyivama, she can no longer proceed to Yivam. Why? It's almost like we treat her like a married woman. She's somehow bound to the Yavam. She's like semi-married to him. Because remember, he's just taking over his brother's marriage. So we treat her like almost like an Ashes Ish. Who commits Znus, which makes her Usur to her husband. Mimai, how does Rav Hamnuna know this? What's his Raya? Where did he learn this from? It's a big Chiddush. From our Mishnah. And that's why it belongs here. Midiktani, the Mishnah says, Shemeres Yavam Maknusa. That we are mashbi'a the isha, right? We impose the shvu on the isha pertaining to today's situation, knusa, and also to the period prior to Yivam, when she was still shemeras Yavam. Now, what effect does Znus have on her current marriage with the Yavam if that Znus occurred prior to the Yivam and she was still unmarried? I'amras b'shloima asira. Now, this is fully understandable. That if, in fact, this type of experience, Znus, during Shemeres Yavam, affects her Yibum, makes her Asr on the Yavam, Shemachi Mas Nabada, that explains the Mishnah. That explains how he can include the Shemeres Yavam time frame, the period of Shemeres Yavam, into his Shvuah. Because he says, look, if there was something that happened then, I have to know about it. If something happened then I'm really also to you. So today's water drinking should address that as well. Early Amras Le'asir, but if what she did during the Shemeres Yavam period has no ramifications on her future marriage with the Yavam, Hechimas Namada, how could he include that in the discussion? But none, doesn't the Mishnah tell us? That's out of his bounds, none of his business. Any sort of bila which has no effect on her husband's relationship with her, you couldn't include that tonight in the shavu and in the discussion. So this is Rav Hamnuna's raya that Hashem Meres Yavam Shizin, so is usher to the Yavam. Amri b'ma Rav Asher Eretz Yisrael, they disagree. So no, leis hilchas of Rav Hamnuna, we don't paskin like that. Although Hashem Meres Yavam is not meant to get involved with somebody else while awaiting Yivam, but if she does, it does not make her usher on the Yavam. What about the Raya from our Mishnah? Our Mishnah seems to indicate that anything that occurred during the Shemeres Yavam period affects her potential Yivam. Elo diktani Shemeres Yavam Meknusa. Why does the Mishnah seem to indicate that it is a serious violation to the point that it makes her usher on the husband, on the future Yavam? Hamani Rabbi Kivi. Oh, our Mishnah was authored by Rabbi Akiva, who takes an Isra Lam very seriously, equates it to a certain extent like Arayis, like a regular Ashes Ish. Mani Rabbi Kivi, the Omar Ein Kedushin Tosin B'chai V'lav. He holds that just like a person cannot walk over to a married woman and be Mekadisher, you can't do the same with a Chayav V'lav, and the issue is also to you on account of a Lav, like a divorcee to a Kohen, etc. Has the same Le'umash V'loki Erva, he treats her like an Erva. And therefore, in this case as well, Eish Shemeres Yavim is not allowed to get involved with somebody else. Lo'itiyah Eish Esameis Hachutz Le'ishzor, it's a lav. According to Rabbi Kiva, an Isra lav is like an Isra Misa B'dei Shemaim, to the extent that we consider her fully bound, fully connected, as though she's married to the Yavim, and just like a regular married woman who gets involved with a man, makes her usher on the husband. And of course, that can be addressed by the Mei Soita, and a shvu imposed on that. Likewise, the issue of the Shemeres Yavam is treated with the same severity, and therefore is included in the shvu. But according to the Shitas Chachamim, a Isser Lav doesn't have the same severity as an Isser of Eishes Ish, and therefore, although the Yavam is not meant to be involved with somebody else, but if she does, it does not affect her eligibility for Yibam with the Yavam. But we have Yibam. Rabbi Yirmiyah presented the following question. Suppose a person was married and married again to the same issue. So Reuben married Rachel, they divorced, he married her again. So now they ran into an issue. There was kinei stira, they're about to drink the water. Can he include? So master means to sort of condition, means to include into the discussion, include into the shvua, something that occurred during their first marriage. Or in the case of a yavam who took over for his brother after his passing. So now we have an issue with a soita. Can you go ahead and say, look, maybe something happened during your first marriage with my brother, al nesurei achiv. Can he include that in the shvua as well? Mao, toshma. We have a right that he could. Zakal, the mission says, kol sheti boil, any experience which does not have any effect on the husband, then none of his business. Loi te asura loi, loi haya mas nima. Ha asura, but if it does have effect on him, like in this case, he says, look, I know it's not this marriage, but it's my previous marriage, and if in fact you did something then, you became usur on me forever. Now, I shouldn't be living with you now either. Although it's a second marriage, doesn't matter. Once you're usur, you're usur. Well, in the case of the Yavam, the same thing. We notice that back on the base, if there is a real issue of znos, and the fellow passes away without kids, the Yavam cannot do Yavam. So the Yavam has a full right to say, look, I demand that we include any potential experience that occurred during my brother's lifetime. Let's verify that to know whether I can stay out with you. Ha asir. But suppose that concern can affect his marriage with her, make her asir, hachanami demasneima. That too can be included in the commitment, in the shvua, in the experience, shmamino. In fact, that's a good raya. Rameyim. Amen shalein itmesi. One amen goes on past, and one amen goes on the future. Tanya, we learned in the Brice, like Yishamer of Meir, amen shalei tummy. Rameyim never meant to say that the amen which relates to the future will work already now. Shem to tummy, that if in fact Hashem knows that she's going to do something in the future, then the water will have an effect on her now. Of course not. The person has bechira, nothing will happen now on account of the future. Ella, all Ramey meant was like this. The first amen is about something in the past. The second amen, relating to future, means that I'm accepting upon myself that if in fact in the future I deviate, the water which I'm drinking now will come back to haunt me then. Ella likeshetitame. When and if she gets involved later on with somebody, mayim, the water that she drank now, ma'ar arin, like gets regurgled, regenerated. It comes back up into her throat, ma'ar arin oisa, ubaitkin oisa, and has that effect on her and punishes her. Okay, Vairavashi. So this is a miraculous thing, you know, like a delayed, you know, delayed action effect. Vairavashi. Ma'ushi yasna adam al nesurin hachrin. Here's an interesting case. It's exactly the opposite of before. Reuben married Rachel. And there was kinei, there was stira. They're giving her to drink. And he wants to include, he's really looking ahead. He says, look, just in case we divorce and remarry again later, I want to include that second marriage into today's Shavua. Ma'u shi'asna adam alim sum achroinim. Could go ahead and include the future. Well, of course, this is according to your mayor, that future can be included, but to what extent? How far can he stretch the rubber band? Ma'u shi'asna adam alim sum achroinim. Shall we say? Well, right now it's not pertinent. None of his business. Ha'ashtamia la'asirulei. It's something in the future. It doesn't make him usher to her now, meaning their marriage now is okay. What does the second marriage have to do with this marriage? Right? There's no isser related to this marriage if there's something that happens in the next marriage. So it's too far out. You can't include that. Or perhaps you can say, yeah. Zimnin de Megarishla, it could happen that in fact he'll divorce her. But the Mahadon, take her back. And if in fact, you know, she does something wrong then, of course that will make her usher on him then. So that's included in his, you know, that's part of his koyach. That's his right to go ahead and say, look, I'm making a package deal. I want to cover this marriage and the next marriage. Toshma. So we're going to have a right from our Mishnah. Hakol Shavin, all shittas agree, they can't stretch it that far. Shlo yaya masna ima, lo yal koidem shittas aris. You cannot include some sort of concern which pertains to the period that preceded their engagement. That's out of his domain. Lo yal achash shittas garish, nor something which may occur after they divorce. Again, it's out of his domain. And the Mishnah explains, Nistra le'echad v'nitmis, he cannot go ahead and cover a situation as follows. That after they divorce, she was involved with another man. And then, you know, he takes her back. I want to cover that situation as well. He can't cover that. He can't stand today and say, look, if something happens after we divorce, while you're unmarried, I want to address that as well. So the water should, you know, affect you. You can't do that. Why? Because it occurred outside of their marriage. Oh, so let's make a deal, an inference. But apparently, if what he's trying to address today is not an unmarried situation, but rather he's addressing their second marriage already now. The Shavuot applies to this marriage and to our next marriage, if it should come. And if you should do something wrong then, I want to include that as well. It would seem that he can do that. That is part of his, that is under his jurisdiction. That is his domain. That is his business. Chanam de Masna, that could be included. Shmamno, we have a good raya. That according to our mayor, although he cannot address an occurrence that transpires during her unmarried state, but he can address and can express concern and include in the Shavuot a potential situation that may occur once he takes her back after divorce. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa goes like this. Zois Toiras Haknois. This is the Torah, this is the procedure of the knois that relates to the kina yivastira, as we're learning the Megillah and the drinking and all that. So what do we learn from here? The word teiras is sort of a broad expression that this process applies to all situations of saita. Melamed she'isha shoisa v'shoina. We learn from here that the same isha can drink once today, and once again tomorrow, should the need arise. Every time there's a kinei v'stira, we apply this Torah, this procedure. It can be a recurring thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. The word zois limits it. It's a one-time thing. You have one chance to confront her, to suspect her, to put her through this ordeal, but that's it. One time is it's enough. She comes out safe. She comes out innocent. Leave her alone. Zois teaches us she'ena isha shoisa v'shoina. No, you cannot put an isha through this ordeal twice. On Rabbi Yehuda, there was a story, Masa Behaid Lefanenu. We had testimony before us from this fellow called Nechunya Chayfer Shichen. He was a tzaddik who dug the water holes, the trenches for the Yidden who were Oile Regal. And he had this halacha that he presented to us. Sheisha Shoisa v'shoina. That in fact an isha can, you know, be forced to drink once and again. That was his opinion. But although we accepted his testimony, but in limited fashion, only in some cases. Because Balnui Dusa, we accepted his halacha, only if it's b'shnei anoshim. If we're speaking about two separate husbands, meaning let's say, first husband put her through the saita ordeal. And then she divorced, whatever, and she married again. And second fellow had the same issue. Yeah. We put her through the process twice. Ava loy bi ishecha, but not if it's the same husband. Same husband, there's a limit to how much you can harass your wife. That's it. One time. The Chacham Omrim, the Chacham totally disagree. They go to the other extreme. Ein Aisha Shoysa V'Shoyna. An Isha will never have to drink twice. Ve'im B'Ish Echad, whether it's the same husband. Ve'im Ishne Anoshim, or even if it's people two marriages, two husbands. It's a one-time thing. Okay, so we seem to have three shittes. Chachamim say it's never done twice. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, under the same husband, it's only once, but a new husband, well, we can do it again. Tanakama seems to hold that the word Toiras allows us to put it through it once and again, even with the same husband. Question is, Tanakama nami yaksiv Zois. What does Tanakama do with the word Zois? Which limits it. It's a limited thing, limited experience. It's a one-time thing. If in fact it's allowed to be done over and over again, what do I do with the word Zois? That's one question. And on the other side of the spectrum, the last Shita, the Shita's Rabbanon, who seem to say that it's never done more than once, under all circumstances, irrespective of how many husbands there are, it's just a one-time thing for the Isha. But Rabbanon Basroi, the last Rabbanon, Nami, Yoksiv Teiras. What about Teiras, which indicates that it could be a repetitive process? So we seem to have three Shitas in the Braisa, and we have to reconcile it with the two Psukim. On the one hand, we have Zois, which limits it. Sounds like it's just a one-time experience. Then we have Teiras, indicating that it can be done over and over again. So the Gemara now will present a formula to explain the three Shitas and how they address the Psukim, each one in his own way. Amarav, v'ish echad u'boil echad. Suppose it's the same husband here, suspecting that same perpetrator of being involved with his wife. It happened once, they drank, it happened again. Do we do it again? Or do we say, well, it's a false, don't overdo it, don't exaggerate. You've proven false, leave it alone. The kuli am wallay pligi, everybody agrees, dei no isha shoysa v'shoyna. We don't put the woman through it once and again. Once is more than enough. It's been proven that, you know, this husband with this other fellow have something with each other, and there's no reason to put her through it again. Why? Dechsev Zois. Pasuk says Zois, which certainly addresses this type of situation where logic dictates that, in fact, it's unfair that she goes through it twice. On the other side of the spectrum, we have a situation where it's totally unrelated. The first and second experience are totally different circumstances. B'shnei Anoshim, you have two men, two marriages. Bushnei Boylan, involved with two separate perpetrators. So the first time with the first marriage, she was suspected of being involved with one man. She drank. And now it's the next marriage. A new husband, a new attitude, a new personality, concerned about a different person. The kuli amali pligid aisha shoysa b'shoyna. In this case, certainly everybody agrees that we have a full right to give it to her again. Dechsev Teiras. That's what Teiras is coming to address. It's totally unrelated to the first experience, a new set of circumstances, a new experience, new drinking. So again, it's clear that we're speaking about the same husband with the same bayel. It's a one-time thing. That's it. No more. A new husband with a new perpetrator, certainly we deal with it totally new. The question is, when it's somewhere in the middle, ki pligi, the machlekes is, let's say, bi'ish echad. It's again the same husband being concerned, but it's a new man, Ushnei Boylan, a new perpetrator. Or the other way around, Bishnei Anoshim, it's a new husband, Uboylechad, with the same perpetrator as last time. So here we have the Machlekes. Do we have a right to put her through the process again? Tanakama Sever, Tanakama holds. Yeah, sure. Teiras, the word Teiras, which broadens our allowance, L'Rabuya Kuli, is coming to include all these cases. We give it to her again. The word Zois, which limits it, that's only in that first case. When you have all the reason to believe that he's just making it up. L'mu'uti ish echad boyel echad. Same husband, the same boyel. Doesn't smell right. You have reason to suspect that he's just giving her a hard time. Look, she already checked it out. She verified last time and she was fine. Why are you going after her again? So according to Tanakama, in that situation, we don't give it to her again. Rabbanu Basroi, let's go jump over to the third Shita, the Rabbanim at the end of the Braisa, they go the other way. They're at the other side of the spectrum. They limit much more than the Tanakam. Savri, they hold Zois Lamute Kuli. The word Zois excludes all these cases. Is there any sort of recurrence, whether it's the same husband or the same perpetrator, you don't do it again. The word Toiras, which seems to broaden and to include, Lirabuyi is only including the case where it's a totally new set of circumstances. Shnei Anoshim, a brand new husband. Shnei Boilin, a new perpetrator. So again, according to Tanakama, in all situations, we do give her to her. Again, except when it's the same husband with the same perpetrator, that's too fishy. It's unfair to give it to her again. Whereas Rabbanan go the other way. We never repeat with the same isha. Except if it's a totally new set of circumstances. A brand new husband having an issue with her, with a brand new perpetrator. For Rabbi Yehuda, he strikes a compromise. He says, look, the word zois, which limits, is coming l'mutei tarti, is coming to exclude two situations. The word teres, which broadens, l'rabbi's tarti, will include two situations. And he explains, zois l'mutei tarti, zois will exclude two. And it all depends on who the husband is. If it's the same husband, leave her alone. Ish echad aboyel echad, whether it's the same husband with the same suspect, or ish echad v'shnei boylin. Even if it's a new suspect, but if it's the same husband, under the same marriage, this fellow is really paranoid, that's it. You have no right to impose it on her again. Whereas toiras, which broadens and includes, is coming to Rabbi Yitarti to include two situations. One is a new marriage, a new husband suspecting her. Here we have good reason to believe that, it makes sense. There's grounds for her suspicion. He's not an overly paranoid. He's a new person, a new personality. Shnei Anoshim, if it's a brand new husband, Ubay Lechad, even if it's the same suspected perpetrator, or it's a Shnei Anoshim, it's a new husband, or Shnei Balin, it's a new perpetrator, it doesn't matter. The key word is it the same husband? Then forget about it. Is it a new husband? Then you have a right to give her the water again. So bottom line is, we have the word Zois, which limits. Torah broadens. All agree? If it's the same husband as last time, with the same boyel as last time, forget about it. Don't do it again. All agree, if it's a new husband, with a new perpetrator, do it again. What about if it's the same husband with a new perpetrator? Or a new husband with the old perpetrator? We have a three-way machlik, as Tanakama says. You give it to her again. The Rabbanan at the end of the Braisa say no. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it depends on what number husband it is. That's what determines. Same husband, don't give it to her again. It's a new husband, then yes. Okay, let's recap just the rest of the daf. We know that the mechikas, the ksiva, the mechika, has to be personal. The pasuk says va'asala. The question is it only the ksiva that has to be for her sake? Or even the mechika as well? We had several shilas, several situations, which were questionable, and left with a teku, drinking with a straw. That was a good question. What about if some got spilled out, can use the rest? Then we explain why it says shvua twice. One is imposing it on her, promising that she's innocent, and the next one is to have her accept upon herself a shvua which activates the other, the curse and the punishment. She says amen twice. Allah, shvua, this man, somebody else. It never happened when I was married or beforehand when I was engaged. In the case of a yivama, it didn't happen now or when I was a shemeres yivama. Remeir adds that it can work for the future as well. And the Gemara explains, of course, it doesn't work now on account of the future, but if something happens down the road, today's water will affect her then. Everybody agrees that you cannot include an event that happened prior to engagement or post-marriage when she's still unmarried at that point. However, according to Rameh, that the future can be included, you can include something that may occur during your second marriage or third down the road. What about something that occurred during your first marriage with her? Now it's the second. Something that occurred in the past during the first marriage. That can be included as well because that affects your status with her now. Now we discussed when and if an Isha can be put through this ordeal twice in some situations. We do it, in others, we don't. Hadron Allah Chayamevi. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.